Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott has created a cabinet-level position to ensure that city agencies, boards, and commissions operate in a framework of equity. My first guest today is Dana Peterson Moore, the woman the mayor has tapped to be the city's first chief equity officer. A lawyer who was most recently the acting city solicitor, Moore will also head the Office of Equity and Civil Rights. Dana Moore joins me to talk about her mandate and her mission. Plus, 53 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King traveled to Memphis to support striking sanitation workers. Marco Merrick, the acting chief of equity and environmental justice at the Baltimore Department of Public Works, reflects on Dr. King's legacy and inspiration to Baltimore's frontline workers at DPW. That's coming up on Midday after the news. Hey, everybody. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. First, an update today on the shooting in Frederick. This happened at an office park in the 8400 block of Progress Drive in Frederick around 8:30 this morning. Two men critically injured. They have been flown to the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center here in Baltimore. After shooting the two men, the gunman drove to the U.S. Army garrison at Fort Detrick, where personnel on the base shot and killed him. The Associated Press are reporting that the suspected gunman was a Navy medic. The military base Fort Detrick is about 10 minutes from the business park. So we'll keep covering this story for you this afternoon. That information from Alex Mann at the Baltimore Sun. Yesterday, Governor Larry Hogan announced that as of today, Marylanders age 16 or over are eligible to receive a vaccine at any of the state's mass vaccination sites. And as of next week, every vaccine provider will provide shots to anybody over the age of 16. So to pre-register for an appointment, come to coronavirus.maryland.gov. And over the next few days, walk-up vaccinations will be available in Howard County and in Hagerstown. And next week, there will be a walk-up line at M&T Bank Stadium here in Baltimore. The Associated Press and other media outlets are reporting today that President Biden will announce soon that he is moving the date by which all American adults may be eligible for a vaccine. It was originally May 1st. The president is expected to announce that it will now be April 19th. And Governor Hogan's announcement yesterday puts Maryland in front of that deadline by a week. When Brandon Scott was running for mayor last year, he promised several changes to the structure of city government that he asserted will improve the efficacy of city services and focus attention on the need for those services to be delivered equitably. Tomorrow, we will meet Baltimore's new city administrator, Christopher Shorter, and today we meet the city's first ever chief equity officer. Last December, Mayor Scott announced the appointment of former acting solicitor Dana Peterson Moore to this newly created cabinet-level position. Ms. Moore will also lead the Office of Equity and Civil Rights. Dana Moore joins me today to talk about her aspirations in her new role, and she joins us on Zoom. Hey, Dana, welcome to the show. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for inviting me to join. I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, if you have questions for our new Chief Equity Officer, Dana Moore, our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. And to tweet us, it's @MiddayWYPR. So what is your purview and your responsibility in this new role?
Pretty large footprint. When I agreed to serve in this role, the mayor first made it clear that he has been talking about equity for a number of years, you know, in his role as a member of the city council, then city council president. and now as mayor. And my mandate is to make it real for all of Baltimore, and specifically all of our city agencies, the boards and commissions. He has directed that I look at the work of all of our city agencies first, look internally at not just our written policies, but our practices to ferret out any what I call false barriers to employment, to being able to do business with the city, to promotions within departments, and really how we deliver services throughout Baltimore City. So that's the first little thing that we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, that little to-do list. Yeah. I mean, equity is often framed as, you know, equity in education or in healthcare. We've certainly been thinking a lot about it in that regard, in terms mm-hmm. of access to vaccines for marginalized communities, or equity in housing or transportation. I mean, how do you view the capacity of your office and your folks to move the needle in those specific areas?
I have no question or doubt about our capacity to do this work. And the reason I have no doubt about it is, one, we are in a moment. There is a movement. It's not just a movement. We're at a time in Baltimore, really in the country, where almost everyone is thinking about how can we be fair to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors. I expect great success because this is something that we all want. And I have said it a couple times before, for those that don't want to be part of this journey, I just ask that they let me know and we will excuse them from the mission. But everyone else is on board. And that's why I expect and know that we'll be successful. When the mayor is mandating that there be change and the mayor is saying this is what is of prime importance to him, he's demonstrated by making the office of, the chief equity officer a cabinet level position. So when the person at the top is saying this is what's important and this is where I'm going to be making my assessments, I really expect that every city employee is going to be on board and is on board with this. So the Office of Equity and Civil Rights is small. It's one of our smaller offices. The way that we have structured the work of achieving equity across all of our agencies, boards, and commissions is we have deputized, for lack of a better word, persons within each agency to help with the process. We will be providing training on not just diversity. The first thing that I believe that we need, across the board in the city is training on implicit bias and understanding the biases that we all carry so that we can really think bigger when we are looking for people to partner with in terms of doing business, when we're looking to do our hires, when we're looking at who's going to be promoted. So there are a lot of soldiers in this army, and we're all working together.
How, in your view, has the pandemic exacerbated or do you think it has, in fact, exacerbated inequity in Baltimore? Let's talk about the governance issues first. In city government, has the pandemic, resulted in greater inequity within agencies?
In some respects, yes. Like, if your goal is that every agency has equal opportunity to grow and participate in government and decision making, I think in a sense the answer would be yes. And here's why. This pandemic has unevenly impacted the Department of Health. They have had to do a lot of the heavy lifting to make sure that all of Baltimore is as safe as possible from this very pernicious disease. So what does that mean in real time? They are working overtime. They are working round the clock still, and they've been at this really since early February. We're 14 months in, and it has not let up. The focus has shifted. The Office of Children and Family Services has, you'll recall early on, Director Tisha Edwards was making sure that Baltimore got food. The school shut down. Kids, where they normally were going to school to get their meals, they were even getting backpacks on Fridays so that they could take food home. All that shut down. Baltimore has a great number of residents who are food insecure. And so we had to build an infrastructure to make sure that people still could eat. So that agency was tapped, very, very, very hard. And the Office of Homeless Services, and there's a lot that we can say about homeless services, but what we were most concerned about was that we take care of the most vulnerable in this pandemic. So we spent a lot of time setting up arrangements so that we could take entire hotels and turn them into shelters, get people, out of congregate settings. There was a lot of money that was spent to do that. But the rationale was if we must take care of those that are the least able to do so because of the nature of this disease and its rapidity with spread. So in that sense, yes, I do think that the pandemic has drawn harder on some of our agencies. DPW, they were hit very, very hard in terms of the employees being impacted by COVID themselves, police and fire as well. Yes.
Dana P. Moore is Baltimore's first chief equity officer. We're talking about efforts to make city agencies and boards and commissions and, in fact, our entire city just simply more equitable. 410-662-8780. Our email's midday@wypr.org. To tweet us, it's @midday WYPR. We have a caller on the line, Ellen, who's calling from Baltimore. Welcome to Midday with Dana P. Moore.
Dana, I am thrilled as a long-term city resident that this position's been created and that you are in it. And my question is, what aspects of your life history and experiences will inform your work in this important position? And thank you. Thank you so much for doing this work.
Thank you, Ellen. And I recognize the voice, and it's really good to hear from Ellen. Ellen and I share some history, some very similar factors. Both of our fathers were in the military. My father was the first African-American pilot in the Marine Corps, and then he went on to become the first African-American general, and he retired as a three-star general. And my mother was just a very, very strong, active, stay-at-home mom for most of my life. And I guess in my own background, I know what it's like to be ostracized. I know what it's like to have false barriers put up in front of your ability to progress and grow. Knowing my own father's challenges, and he passed away in 2015, and I acquired all of his papers, and there were papers in that he had held on to where. One was, what is the prospect for the American Negro in the Marine Corps? And the bottom line was that the American Negro could make a good cook or someone to clean. And that's where it started. And that's the Marine Corps my father entered. And he said, no, that's not what he wanted. And he had to fight every day to advance. And I think my role as the chief equity officer is to never forget our history. It's not that long ago. We have to, I'm here to make sure that there are opportunities for anyone and everyone that wants to work with the city, that wants to work for the city, and wants to advance. And the hunt for false barriers is really what drives me. And obviously, making sure that what this mayor has mandated continues well into the future of Baltimore, because we need it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the hunt for the false barriers, oftentimes you don't have to hunt too deeply. I mean, those barriers, when we talk about systemic inequality, systemic racism, systemic institutional policies and procedures that, you know, have it baked in the cake to make it more difficult for some people than others to advance and to take advantage. It's right out there in front. So we do talk about seeing all of the problems that the city faces, you know, through this equity lens. So we'll talk more about that, particularly as it regards violence reduction here in Baltimore City with Dana P. Moore. And we'll talk more about it after a quick break. She is Baltimore's first chief equity officer. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. To tweet us, it's at Midday WIPR. To tweet me, it's at Tom Hall WIPR. Stick around.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up a little later today, Marco Merrick joins me. He's the Acting Chief of Equity and Environmental Justice at the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. We were just talking with Dana Moore about how badly the Department of Public Works was hit at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. So we'll talk about the work that Marco is doing in the area of equity at DPW. And by the way, coming up tomorrow, Christopher Shorter joins me. He is Baltimore's first city administrator. He began his tenure here in Baltimore in January after serving as the director of agency operations in Austin, Texas, at the office of the city administrator there. So we'll meet Mr. Shorter tomorrow. Plus, I'll have a conversation with an evolutionary economist named Hazel Henderson. She's the founder of an organization called Ethical Markets. She's appearing at the American Visionary Art Museum this weekend to talk about creating a more equitable and compassionate global economy. So I'll speak with her about that tomorrow on Midday. If you've just joined us today, my guest is the City of Baltimore's first Chief Equity Officer, Dana Peterson Moore. You can join us at 410-662-8780. You can email us midday@wipr.org. You can tweet us at @MiddayWIPR. So, Dana, you're exactly right that for the decade or so that Brandon Scott has been in city government, he has spoken about the need for understanding all of the challenges we have in terms of equity along with other things. And in the violence reduction, the violence prevention and framework plan that the mayor put out for public comment in February, he talks about the prevention of violence and the promotion of healing through an equity-based, healing-centered, and trauma-informed approach. That sounds really good, but what does that mean to you? How does one have an equity-based approach to violence reduction? Because I know there are listeners who are joining us who are thinking, what does equity have to do with one guy shoots another guy? There's a guilty party there. There's a not guilty party there. But what does an equity-based approach mean when you are talking about the violence that our city's been struggling with for so long?
So, Tom, the scenario that you describe, you say there's one guilty party and there's another who's not guilty. Can I be honest? I feel like we all have some guilt in it. Baltimore is the birthplace of redlining. Mm-hmm. We're still living with the social and historic artifacts of that. Our zip codes do determine our future, our here and our now, and we have to work hard. Those of us that are in zip codes that were the victims of redlining have to work hard to scrap and scrape our way out of it. So when you or I hear a scenario of one person shoots another or does violence to another, let's reverse engineer. How did we all get to that place? What brought us to that moment? And so when we talk about equity in terms of violence reduction, and looking at it with an equity lens and with some healing, it to me means that we have to look at all of the artifacts of our history in Baltimore. You cannot drive through Baltimore and view the abandoned houses, the trash, the disinvestment, and not ask yourself, what is happening here? What is happening to the people here? What is happening to the children? What's the future? And how do we change it? So, Shante Jackson and Mayor Scott and many, many, many others, Commissioner Harrison, are working really, really hard to find solutions that not just stop violence, but also pay attention to what it is that brought us to these moments. We have a very challenging history here in Baltimore. We don't have to be tied to it. We don't have to let it determine our future. And I think looking at violence through the equity lens helps us with that. I know that there are conversations that are going to happen throughout the city. There's been great openness to talk with, all stakeholders. And that means all ethnicities, all cultures, to help us understand what will be different and how we can have a different outcome in terms of fighting violence. So that's what it means for me.
Mm-hmm. And remind us, because I can't remember what the acronym means, but Shante Jackson is the head of the mayor's office of neighborhoods. What's her title?
It's Monsey, mayor's office of neighborhood safety. And what is the E?
It could be equity. Yeah.
And no, I don't know if it's equity, but mayor's office of neighborhood safety and.
Yeah,
I don't know that's it.
It's safety. It's public safety. And we're going to have Shante Jackson on the show soon to talk about that work. Part of the purview of the Office of Equity and Civil Rights that you head does include the Civilian Review Board and oversight of law enforcement here in Baltimore. But it's also it has things to do like with the Mayor's Commission on Disabilities and the Wage Commission. We'll talk about Civilian Review Board in a second. But when it comes to equity in terms of wages, is this something that you would get involved in your office and you personally? I mean, do you foresee a reanimated push for a local ordinance about a $15 minimum wage that was passed by the city council a few years ago, and then Mayor Catherine Pugh vetoed that particular piece of legislation? Is obviously very much on the minds of people at the federal level, but is that something that you foresee coming back up as a local discussion?
I do, but I want to make a correction, an edit. It's the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement.
Engagement, that's right.
Yeah, big, big, really important word. So the Wage Commission primarily is looking at how are those that are doing business with the city complying with the city's wage laws. It's not so much an advocacy role as it is an enforcement role. There are a number of investigators that will actually go to businesses and pull their records and look and see if employees are being paid appropriately. We also receive complaints. I guess 2 years ago, in my role as, I think I was deputy city solicitor then, we received a number of complaints against large employers. And we found that, yes, indeed, they were not paying employees appropriately. So we figured out what the shortfall was and made sure that employees got paid the money that they were owed. I think that the one thing that we all must do is pay our employees as we have promised to do so. I believe that that applies to the city as well. And so one of my primary concerns is that we make sure that those vendors that are doing business with the city get paid. That doesn't fall under the Wage Commission. That's just that's a justice issue. I don't believe that the Wage Commission has ever engaged in advocacy, but that doesn't mean that it isn't something that we would take up with the new chief equity officer role.
And overall, when you're trying to, you know, increase, enforce, cultivate more equitable situations in city agencies and boards and commissions, what's the leverage that you have? What's the carrot? What's the stick? How do you go about obliging people to change behavior if you identify behavior that is, in fact, not equitable in its approach?
Well, it's sort of what I said in the beginning. You know, I presume that everyone wants to live in a more equitable society, and that includes all of our agency heads, directors, the teams that make up our boards and commissions. Everybody wants this. I think the carrot, if you will, is that this is a justice issue. And when we do justice by our brothers and sisters, we do justice for ourselves. And in the end, the deliverable is clearly a more just society, and there's more harmony. So I think, I mean, that sounds, you know, sort of, I'm not going to say it's pie in the sky, but I mean, that's really what the mission is. The stick, you know, in terms of those that are employed by the city, I haven't had to even suggest that I have a stick, but it is there. And that is those that feel that they don't want to be part of this and that they're not ready to help create a more equitable Baltimore City, you know, I would have no hesitation to invite them to move on to their next mission outside of city service. There's just, it's just that simple.
And as a cabinet level person in the administration, you would in fact have the authority, the imprimatur to do just that, to say, look, you know, you're not on board here. It's time for you to look somewhere else.
I would have no hesitation to have that conversation, but the one that conversation would really be had with would be, you know, the city administrator and the mayor. And we're nowhere near that. I mean, no one has said to me, I'm not with this. Mm-hmm. One person I've talked with. So I don't expect to ever have to have that conversation, ever.
Dana Peterson-Moore is the first ever Chief Equity Officer of the City of Baltimore. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. Mine is @TomHallWYPR. So let's talk about the Office of Equity and Civil Rights oversight of local law enforcement. It includes working with the Civilian Review Board. That's an independent agency that allows the public to make complaints against Baltimore City police officers, the school police, the sheriff's office, and other police entities. In the context of the conversation that the General Assembly is having as we speak about the repeal of what's known as LEOBAR, L-E-O-B-R, the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, there's a big package of police reform legislation that they're trying now to work out the differences between the bill in the Senate and the bill in the House. But there's clearly going to be some pretty, whatever it ends up, it's going to be a fairly major overhaul of policing and police procedures and laws regarding policing. How does that inform, or how does that interpolate into what you're doing in terms of your oversight of the law enforcement agencies that are under your purview?
So we're still in wait and see mode. We're going to wait and see what's actually delivered. What is the law going to be as enrolled? And we'll be guided by it. I expect that the revisions to the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights will create greater ease in accessing records and more timely, quick access to records. It'll give the Civilian Review Board more tools to actually do the work that the law has mandated that they do. Expect that we'll have more opportunities to consider the conduct and behavior of those law enforcement persons who are not following the law. And, you know, what we wish is to be put out of business. What we would wish is that we would not have to consider these issues at all. The changes to the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights plus the Baltimore Police Consent Decree, I expect, is going to combine and have a huge culture shift so that we have far more compliance with the laws that govern police activity. I know that there will always be some that choose not to comply or don't comply or fail to comply, and that they will be before us and we'll have more tools to pursue enforcement.
We have an email from a listener, Donna, who says, would you consider recommending employment set-asides for city jobs for returning citizens, people with disabilities and others who have barriers to employment? Can the city do that as a matter of policy?
I don't know that we can do set-asides, but I understand the spirit of the request. And I'm going to reinterpret it as creating more opportunities for persons that are returning citizens and persons with disabilities. And I can tell you the answer is yes. That is something that we do want to do and we will do. We have the Commission on Disabilities, which is also part of the Office of Equity and Civil Rights. And we are looking at that. And absolutely, I think that's so important. Jobs are perhaps... employment is a huge tool in fighting violence, and we're all for it. Absolutely.
One of the areas of oversight you have is this thing called the Community Relations Commission, the CRC. So it's an agency here in the city that looks into claims of discrimination and enforces the anti-discrimination laws that are on the books. In terms of, again, carrots and sticks with private entities, with vendors, with employers in the city, what sort of influence, what sort of leverage do you have with people outside of city agencies and boards and commissions when it comes to making sure that everybody in the private sector and public sector is working with an eye towards equity?
So there's great leverage for those that are working in private industry that feel that they've been discriminated against, something that has occurred within the city of Baltimore. They can come to us, the Community Relations Commission, and we'll do an they can make a complaint. We'll do an investigation. If we find that the complaint is substantiated, we'll do either reconciliation meeting or refer to other agencies here in the city, state agencies that can pursue and help people pursue those claims. I like to think that, you know, no one wants to be the subject of that kind of complaint. But, you know, if we receive it, we will investigate it and we will follow the facts to wherever they lead. And, you know, we have the ability to force change or impose penalties.
So you do have the ability to impose penalties. I mean, when it mm-hmm. comes to, if you find that the law is not being followed, you just have to take everybody to court and get a court to impose penalties? Or is this something that an agency of the city government can do on its own?
Well, I think city agencies, one of the things that, the last thing that somebody wants to do is to not be allowed to do business with the city. We do have debarment proceedings. There is a little used law that allows the city to stop doing business with someone with a business that has been found to have engaged in a form of discrimination. The new solicitor is aware of it. We've educated him about that, and he has made a public commitment to pursue that as an option if needed, and we will be right there with him as a partner to help him do that.
Dana Peterson Moore is the first ever chief equity officer in our city, the city of Baltimore. Dana, thank you so much and good luck. This is important work, and we'll check in with you from time to time to see how it's going. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, the acting chief of equity and environmental justice at the Baltimore Department of Public Works, Mark O'Merrick, joins me on the other side of a quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR.